So at the time I was using Express, I already knew Express. It was like the go-to when you come to know, but it was no Laravel. So I was searching, I found Adonis, I found Nest. It wasn't given, to use the term. Then one memorable moment for me was when a tool I wrote was used by Gift Igweno. This was years ago on one of our videos. So she was trying to scaffold something with Chakra UI, and I wrote the Vue CLI Chakra UI plugin.
Because if you focus so much on the numbers, it can be very damaging when like you work so hard on a tweet and it doesn't perform. You just feel like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That was just a waste of time. Yeah, so you feel burnt out, you feel bad, and you just feel like the measurement of your happiness is coming from the number of tweets or, you know, retweets or likes like that. Yeah,
and sales conf and everything. I am also a supporter of the idea that you can build businesses on the web and you don't need a 9-to-5.
My name is Esther Adebayo, and on my tech journey with Esther, I sit down with tech folks to talk about how they've been able to handle rejections, overcome obstacles in their careers, and really cut through the hype. From coding mistakes to battling rejections, balancing work life, and even doing phenomenal things, my guests will share everything raw and real on my tech journey with Esther. New episodes drop every week, so you don't want to miss out.
Hi, Kelvin. It's good to have you on the podcast today.
Hey, Esther. Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. How are things going on with you?
Yeah, good, good, good. The usual work, 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 you know.
All right. So it's a tradition here for those that watch the podcast. We always start the podcast with an icebreaker. So the icebreaker is for you to tell me two truths and a lie about yourself, and I'll guess the lie.
No, oh, wow, that's fun. I never played that game before.
So okay, let's see, now you get to play it.
Yeah, I'm going to make it a little bit harsh for you, so even if it's my first time playing the game.
I'll get the lie. Let's see.
Okay, let's see. I've read the Christian Bible 5 times through and through. I do 100 push-ups every day, and I finished school and collected my certificate. I thought it's gonna be hard.
I'm just like, what? So your last one was you finished school and you collected your certificate.
Yeah.
I would have said the first one, but that's a very particular, you know, fact that it sounds true, like you've read the Bible 5 times. Like for someone to name that as a fun fact, like it's very particular. So maybe that's not a lie. Let's go to the second one. The second one was what?
I do 100 push-ups every day.
You do 100 push-ups every day and you finish school. I don't think... you strike me as someone that is athletic, but I don't know if you do up to 100 push-ups every day. That's probably the one I'll say that is a lie.
Final answer?
Final answer.
Okay, yeah. The answer is the third one. I finished school, I didn't collect my certificate, sorry.
Really? That's weird. Why? Because you feel like you're not going to use it.
Yes, I didn't believe in it anymore. I'd be like, you know what? I'm going to put my money where my mouth is.
Interesting.
I left it since, 2017? Yeah. I never did collect.
Wow. What school did you attend?
So I attended the Polytechnic, Delta State Polytechnic. So I did computer science, OND. Yeah.
Oh, so you just felt like, this number of years, I just used it to, you know, have time for myself. I don't need the certificate. Okay.
Yes.
That's interesting to know. Okay. Yeah. You tried. Sure. I missed it. Yeah. Maybe next time play the game. If I ever have to play the game, I'll make it tough for you, but that's fine. All right.
Come on.
So on today's episode, we have Kelvin, aka KOO Drumrolls, here. So Kelvin, you're the lead maintainer of Sales, and Sales is a web framework for those that do not know. And you're also the founder of Salescasts. It's like an educational platform. So how did you get started with Sales and just contributing to open source?
Yeah, definitely. So after the bout, or after the decision of not needing the certificate, I studied for like a year just learning my web dev shops. You know, I don't know if people could remember the new Boston was one of the go-to YouTube channel to learn HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. So
really?
I was, and also, yeah, and also lynda.com, which is now LinkedIn.
Yeah, I
learning.
Remember lynda.com.
Yeah.
I remember Linda.
Yeah. So we had like just learning and learning. Then I got the shot at my first role, front end engineer at a startup. So after that, I moved on to like a contracting role where I was helping build the web service for a Web3 project. So I was tasked with the problem of, you know, finding what tech to use. At the time, I was very proficient with PHP Laravel, but after seeing Node.js, it was a no-brainer. I was like, I think I like JavaScript more than PHP, and having to use a single language on, you know, client and server was very economical, right? Like, you know, you don't have to learn too much, just get better at one.
You can do the two, right?
Exactly. So it made sense for my business mind as well as my techno mind. And JavaScript speaks to me more. So I was like, what is the Laravel for JavaScript or Node? So at the time I was using Express. I already knew Express. It was like the go-to when you come to Node. But it was no Laravel. So I was searching. I found Adonis. I found Nest. It wasn't given. To use the term. So then I discovered Sales and it spoke to me. It was like, oh, this is really cool. Everyone everywhere was saying, oh, this is outdated and stuff, but I built something with it and I was very efficient and productive. I'm like, wow, I think we're missing something here, not to give this tech some more flowers, right? Because it deserves a lot. So I was like, okay, let's find the community. I found the community on Gitter. It wasn't very active. I was like, oh, well, let me be the change I want to see. So I started writing about it. I pitched Smashing Magazine an article. I pitched Log Rocket an article as well, just trying to like, because one problem, I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse. If I like a tech or anything, you can't get me to shut up about it. I was just shouting, telling everyone.
Right.
Yeah. So I was telling everyone about it. Then the founder, Mike McNeil, or the creator of Sales, you know, noticed me on Twitter. Then we started talking, sending emails and stuff, and that was really how I got started with open source. I was just mostly me writing articles, you know, writing blog posts and all that. Then I made a couple of packages here and there, and also at the time I was also using Vue was very efficient for me as well. Yeah, so I was always writing. Then one memorable moment for me was when a tool I wrote was used by Gift Igweno. This was years ago on one of her videos. So she was trying to scaffold something with Chakra UI, and I wrote the Vue CLI Chakra UI plugin, and she was using it. And I stumbled on the video and I saw it. I said, "Oh wow, I'm famous!" And I was like, "So that was very memorable for me." And she said, "Like, this really made using Chakra UI very easy and why." Yeah, that was the whole idea. So
I remember the early parts of Chakra UI, right? That was when you did that. That was really
good. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a very valuable contribution. And right now, you just wrapped up the Sales Conf Africa. So how did that go?
Yeah, it went really. It was like a dream come true because I've been running SalesConf online for 3 years, and last year I took the bull and said, like, you know what, let's make it physical. What is it going to take to bring this in person and have a conference that I'd like? Because I was a little bit dissatisfied with the quality of conferences in Nigeria, how they've degraded, you know. It's more tailored to the beginners, which I get it, but You know, a beginner last year, we are hoping that this year they should be mid-level at least, right? So we are the conferences that are tailored for them for mid-level and advanced developers. There are few or none. So I was like, you know what? Be the change you want to see again. So I started planning it like an indie hacker. Fun fact, I ran the entire conference with no dedicated team. It was just me. It was crazy. Like
Okay, so it
everything
was
was
a
very,
solo thing. That means you must be
yeah.
very
So
good at planning and organizing, or it
yeah,
was
I think so.
learning on the job.
Yeah, I think so. So the way I plan is, for example, the one for 2025, plans have already started. I announced the date Saturday, and plans have already started. So I like to plan early, and I like to automate things. And just, I think you could do more with less if you just start early. Sometimes we hurry because when we had time, we didn't really use it. We left things to the last minute. So I just start early, and, you know, so that if there are any kinks along the way, we iron that out. So yeah, so that was just it. Everybody had a great time. We had over 50 people in attendance. We
That's
had
huge
amazing
for the first
workshops.
physical event.
Yeah. And that's not even counting people that joined online because it was a hybrid event. So we made sure that if you can't attend, you can watch. So we had over 900 people that were online for both days from different places. We had people from Kenya, from Angola, and the US. It was just, you know, it was a dream come true. We had
So,
Squiddy Games where someone get to win ₦1 million by
wow.
testing how good they are with their web dev knowledge. It was fun. It was
Interesting,
fun.
interesting. So, how long did you start planning, knowing that it was this very solo thing? How long ago did you start planning this conference?
So on like let's see, it should be give or take 6 months because it was a spur of the moment. It's like most things I do, so most people that know me, they know once I want to do something, I don't think about it too much. I just take action, then we'll figure it out as we go. So when I decided this was going to happen, I just tweeted it, and that was the day plans started, you know, getting speakers, paying for the event hall, making all the plans and everything. It started on it. So a couple of months, and everything went really, really well for the first one. I thought there would be a lot of chaos because, you know, things were, but all the people involved, I sort of like picked them and they're like, okay, you are doing this and you are doing that. And they just work because they had a lot of time in between for any errors like for us to correct them. So yeah.
Okay, that sounds good. 6 months is like towards the end of last year, probably. Okay, so you mentioned that the state of conferences in like Nigeria, Africa, kind of degraded. So when you were with that in mind, when you were creating Sales Conf, what were some of the strategic things that you did, or you felt like you did differently from the norm?
Yeah, for sure. So one of it was making it very public that we don't cater for newbies in the conference. It's kind of harsh, but so like on the website you see the conference for mid-level and senior web developers, and online I teased last year that if you're a newbie last year, I won't answer any newbie question this year. And you know, it was something that we joked about, but I was kind of serious because I think we need to, you know, sometimes when you need to help people raise their expectations of themselves so that they can come up, right? So last year was me mostly, you know, catering to newbies and trying to see the way. But like Ken Sidot would say in his article, like, stop being a junior, right? You need to come up. And that was just it. So I was like, you know what? If you're going to attend this conference, you must be a senior or mid-level developer. So that was very, it was controversial. People were like, I don't like newbies anymore, but it has to happen. And I said that every speaker, I do not want an inspirational talk. I want a technical talk. And
What do you mean by an
even,
inspirational talk?
yeah, like, you know, there's, you know, testimonies of which are good. They are
Okay.
good for newbies, how you get a
Like
job and all
how they
that.
got started, those kind of thing.
Yeah,
Okay.
we have that too much. It's fine. It has its place, but I think that's the point. We need to be a proper conference where these people are skilled professionals. They're coming to upskill themselves. And we did it. I was like, what will it cost to have a proper tech-oriented web development conference? And we had it from day one till the last. All the talks were technical. And if you check online, just check the hashtag, you'd see people were loving it. It was like a body of water in the desert, because they were yearning for a proper technical conference and not, you know, inspirational, which has its place, like I'd say. But at a certain point, we need to grow and just, you know, let's have a proper tech conference and let's see. I want a place where company can pay for their dev team to attend, because they know when they come back, they have upskilled. Yeah,
I see. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think for me, I would say it's just having a fine balance between spurring newbies to the next level and also not abandoning those that are already experienced, giving them something to look forward to. So that makes sense. And I think I remember sometime a conference that, you know, concluded last year or so, and there was on Twitter, there's a lot of drama on Twitter, you know, someone said something very similar to what you're saying. And another person responded by saying it's based on the call for papers, what people submit, what the speakers submit, they pick from. So for you to get to that point, did you straight up send messages to the speakers that you felt will be able to do justice to those topics? Or was there like call for papers, proposal opening for this particular conference?
Yeah, so the way I ran it, I did a tweet several times, like to call for people. So there, I can actually remember the tweet, because it caused a little bit of controversy. I was like, if you're a mid-level or senior web developer in Africa and you want to give a talk at SalesConf, send me a DM. And a lot of people reached out, and some of them I already knew. So, and even though I know you, everyone sent like a Notion on a Google Doc, the talk, the abstract, because I wanted to gauge where your mind is at and whether it's a proper fit. There were some talks I didn't even go through because we couldn't take them all. But so that was just it. The tweets and a Notion doc and a Notion or Google Doc. Yeah, that's how I did it.
Okay. So you've had so much influence in the open space field, like you're a lead maintainer of Sales. So for anyone that's looking to contribute, this podcast is for all kind of categories. So I'm targeting this question now to newbies especially. I get lots of questions about, okay, I want to contribute to open source. How exactly can I start? So taking Sales, for example, as a case study, if one is looking to contribute and also help in that community, how exactly can they start?
Yeah. So my position on contribution to open source has been the same for like the longest time. And it's this.
Okay.
The way to start is not to contribute, is to be a user. Okay. Because you wouldn't know what the tech needs if you don't use the tech. And I'm not saying usage in terms of getting an idea to contribute. Usage in terms of you're going to ship this thing. So it's actually when you ship something, you will know the pain point. You know, when it's in the lab, your local host, that's the lab. You're not really in the wild where things can go wrong. So I want people who, so if you're going to get started with a tech, spend at least 6 months, 1 year just using it, right? For example, I'll give you a good case study. The first outside contribution to React was by Sophie, right? And the way she contributed was first rebuilding something in React and shipping it. She knew how it worked, the drawback and how good it was. She did not say, okay, I want to contribute to React Core. She used it. The same thing with Astro. For example, the queen of docs, Sarah Rinsberger. When she found Astro, she didn't find it in the capacity to contribute to. She was looking for a tool to build her school's website in. She found it, she used it, she liked it. Then she came back, joined the community, started answering questions, because she she didn't use it in the lab. She used it in the real world, so she have context. So she was able to help people who were getting started. And then the core team tapped her. You know what? I think you're good at this. Come, you know, let's do docs things together. So that's the best way to start. Use the thing, like use it. Yeah. Like, so don't just randomly think of projects to contribute to. Use project in line with your skill set you're developing. And then after you've run a mile, you come back and, you know, see what's missing and, you know, make it better.
Yeah, I like that, your perspective about not just looking for projects to contribute to, but actually using the tech, because mm-hmm. you can't just contribute to something that you haven't used. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And for you working in open source, what has been some of the bottlenecks that you've experienced working open source and just being a lead maintainer? Because that's a lot of work. So what has been some of the bottlenecks?
Yeah, I'm very pragmatic with my open source, because the way I'd like to, handle it is, first of all, open source is a gift, and we're all trying to make this gift we've been given better. So for my case, sales was gifted to us by Mike McNeil. So I try to, it's a balancing act even. So you have to look at issues. You have to also think about the future, like what does it, project needs, because there's a lot of intricacies to make an open source project. It's not just the tech, it's also the community, right? So just the way like app developers think about UX, we tech developers think about DX a lot, right? So, and you have to think, so DX is not just in how they use the tech, is how they also see the tech, all right? So it's a balancing act. So from issues, from angry users who have their issues open so long, you know, how it also grows your communication, how to really, you know, diffuse a situation. Yeah, it's been fun. It's been challenging, but it's really interesting. So my rule of thumb is, every day, or, you know, we try to make this thing better. We fix issues. We plot out plans for the future. Like I announced over maybe like a dozen new things that is coming to Salesland in my talk at SalesConf. And some of them are already underway. Others are R&D. So all this, the whole central theme is to make the lives of the users better, because open source tech is like a product. So when you think of it like a product, you know that the users of the tech, both the people contributing to it and the people using it in their jobs, they are users, even though they're not paying you outright money for it, but they are your users as well. So you have to cater for their needs. You have to like approach it as a product. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. And building, like what you said, building a strong community around the open source is one of the core, because if the community is dead, it's almost like, it's hard to really identify the people that use it, because the people that use it are the community as well. Okay. So Kelvin, I was going to ask, in about 2 years, you've grown your Twitter following from, I think, about less than 1,000 to right now, almost 20,000. And that's a huge achievement. So what are some practical ways that you've learned to build an audience online?
Yeah. So I'm still learning though, because the goal is to get to 93,000, and I've sort of like
93,000. So,
that's a particular number.
Why?
I just picked it randomly, right? Like most numbers, even pricing are random, so I just picked a number. So for Twitter is 93,000, for YouTube is 200K. At least that one's exact.
Awesome.
So I don't know. I just picked 93. Maybe because 3 is in there, and 3 is my favorite number. So the whole how I grew so fast was just studying. Like I did a lot of study, so I was very intentional about it. I was like, well, how do people really grow in here? So I studied a lot of people. I watched a lot of YouTube videos. Saw both good and bad advice. Saw growth hacks that I didn't like. And I was like, then I stumbled on something that actually, it was in retrospect, I was like, oh, this is part of like the strategy, which is when I was actively learning how to code professionally, I think 2018, I did these 100 days of code. So every day I actually finished the challenge. Then I was like, let me check out the hashtag. I checked it out. I saw some people's project. And what I did was, you know, just give real comments and real feedback. And I was just commenting. So I did that. It wasn't a strategy. I just did it. You know, let's encourage these people that are doing this challenge. Then I woke up the next day and I got a sizable amount of following. I was like, is this a fluke? What's going on? Okay, let's do it again. Then I did it. And it was there. So it was like when you leave, you know, intentional comments, hurtful comments on people's posts, they'd like it, they'll check you out. And if they like what they see, they'll follow. Then I was like, yeah. Wow, okay, this was fun. So I did that. And while I was doing that, I was posting consistently. I was just genuinely trying to be helpful, trying to like find my voice and just, you know, tweet out web dev techniques, JavaScript thoughts, you know, code challenges. So we're just tweeting every day. In fact, I think on Typefully, I have like 400 plus days of nonstop tweeting, which is not healthy if you're always on the app, but I automated the thing. So I was like back then I was tweeting. I had a schedule of 6 times in a day and it was just there tweeting, you know, commenting and all. So yeah, and a bunch of other things. I attended conferences as well. I did a couple of, I gave some books away too, like did some challenges. So there were just permutations of several things. But what stand out is the consistency of always showing up, even when my tweets have like one like. Like there was this particular thread I used to do where I would explain concepts and also show video of explaining the concept. It didn't do well at all and it took a lot of work. So that was a learning moment. I was like, okay, cool. This probably it doesn't work. Yeah, it doesn't work. So let's change. So yeah, I was just like doing that, and sometimes folks with larger following would mention me for some reason, and that would also get some eyeballs my way, and some people would like it, and they would. And yeah, spaces also helps too. If I get to come on the space and I speak, and they like what they hear, they'll follow. So yeah, but. Right now it's being overused and you could just smell when someone is just trying to do stuff for the following and it feels very weird. So I promised myself that I'm going to try to, you know, remain original. There's so much you could do and just ask some very weird questions on that's not needed, like why do you like light theme versus dark theme? People always engage that stuff, but it's not just my style. I like to keep it original and just, you know, the growth will come, because if you focus too much on the numbers, you probably will lose yourself and just, you know, just get sucked into the system of looking for engagements. So yeah.
Yeah, I agree with the fact that on Twitter, it's important to be authentic with what you've also said, you know, the engagement. When you engage on Twitter, the followers will come. But one thing that I know that I try to stay true to is just being authentic, which is what you said, because if you focus so much on the numbers, it can be very damaging when like you work so hard on a tweet and it doesn't perform. You just feel like, oh my God,
yeah,
I was just a waste of time.
You feel burnt out.
You feel bad and you just feel like the measurement of your happiness is coming from the number of tweets or retweets or likes like that. Yeah. And for someone that grew like very fast within that period, did you maybe experience some level of overwhelm at any point with number of tweets going out, number of people mentioning you? Did you experience overwhelm at any point?
No, not really, because I try to anticipate best and worst case scenarios every time. So my favorite game is the game of chess, and for you to be really good at the game, you can't be thinking one move at a time. You have to take 3, 4, 5 moves. So I try to like think, okay, what's the outcome of all this? So before, like I was telling a friend of mine when I was lesser than 1,000 following, I was like, I don't want to get big and now start being hard to reach. Even today, I still reply to DMs because it was intentional. I knew it was going to get to a point where I'm going to get big, but it wasn't overwhelming because, first of all, I don't have notifications on at all. I never receive notifications.
That's probably a very good setting to tweak on my Twitter.
So because, like, I don't like things telling me to come. I go on my own time. So that's just how I do it. So there's no notification. Only when I want to check, I check. If I don't check, it's all there. And few things are important. So some will be like, oh, what if there's an emergency? Not really. You really have a handful of emergencies that could ever happen that is actually an emergency. And not just
very
exactly. So I'll get to it when I get to it. So that's it. I always check and see, like, okay, oh, there's a message here. There's notification. I'll check. And I try to always reply to them. So, and yeah, I'm very calm in my mind. It says that I'm hardly overwhelmed. I'm really overwhelmed. I don't even know. I think I need to understand why, because most people tell me that you should be overwhelmed with everything, but I'm not. I still find time to watch series of movies. If I right now, I'm looking for a way to watch Prison Break because I miss Michael Scofield's mind. Yeah, on how he plans. So I have the time to do all that, and I have the time to do every other thing. And it just calm because, for example, I have tweets scheduled in Typefully, so it handles the tweet. I don't even think about tweeting except with ThoughtCom, and I just do that. And
the system you have set up is also one of the things that are very helpful, because as little as it may seem, the fact that you don't have notifications turned on and you also use Typefully to schedule your tweets, so it's not at that instance, it's like what people are saying are things you've already loaded up, and it's really helpful. I think it helps your mind to just also focus on something. So people are saying one thing, but that's not even where your mind is. Your mind is far away from what they're saying. Still on the Twitter, on your bio, you have indie hacking my way to $1.2 million a year. And that's such an inspiring goal. So what was the motivation for that?
Yeah, so the thing is, so apart from doing programming and sales conf and everything, I am also a supporter of the idea that you can build businesses on the web and you don't need a 9-to-5, because basic economics is that when everyone is looking at one spot, there's going to be either realistic or assumed saturations. So right now, people coming into tech, they want to just go get it 9-to-5, right? Nothing is bad. I also had a 9-to-5, but that shouldn't be your end or be all. Because if everyone is chasing a particular thing, that means there's going to be little of it to go around. And that's where you get the burnout. Oh, they lied to us that you're going to finish a boot camp in 6 months and you get a job and you're making like $2,500 a month. You think it's a lie, but it's not really. Just that there are too much people chasing few opportunities. But if we can harness the internet, the web we've been given, and try to be a businessman. And that was the whole idea of indie hacking. Everything we enjoy today, we actually founded by indie hackers. For example, like, when Jack Dorsey founded Twitter, it was just him just hacking away. Then he gave us Twitter. The same thing with Bill Gates, them Steve Jobs, them Jeff Bezos, they just wanted to create. So I want to encourage people to do that. And of course, you have to walk your talk. So I can't be in the cushion of a 9-to-5 and tell people to follow another route. So I was like, I have to be really successful at this in order to know enough, because I like to speak from experience and not, hearsay. I want to, like, okay, I've done this. These are my learnings. And this is how I could tell you, like, you can also learn to do it yourself. Right, so the indie hacking my way to 1.2 is all these things I'm doing. How can I make them earn me $1.2 million every year? Because I've seen it's possible. I know a lot of people that are like Justin Welsh, I think. Yeah, he also does that amount. Even the guy from Design Joy, he also does that amount, or even I think 3 million, 5 billion. So I know it's possible, and so that's my personal challenge. And
yeah,
hopefully
definitely.
We get there and surpass it. Yeah,
hopefully. I definitely know it's possible. And for me as well, I share that same mindset of not allowing your 9-to-5 be your all. Like, mm-hmm. your 9-to-5 is just everything and all there is to you. It's important that, mm-hmm. even as developers, as engineers, we try to build something, and also, like, we're in high demand. Aside a job, there's, yep. something you can also do on the side, create SaaS products, sure. that can also earn you money. So yeah, it's good to see that you're walking the walk, like you say. And yeah. I genuinely admire your proactiveness. And I saw that you very recently launched a product, Hackfish. So yeah. I'd like you to also speak on that. Share more about Hackfish and what it is.
Yeah, for sure. So Hackfish was inspired by a couple of things, how I've worked since, you know, even when I was having 9-to-5, I was also doing, I had a business at the side, and I was also having like contractors, you know, and even myself, I was writing a ton of technical articles. I had to send a lot of invoices and all. So when I saw, so the creator of Gumroad, Sahil, he launched something called Flexile. So it's like this flexible way to work, which I believe in, which is also reason why I launched iFish, where you don't have to have a full-time employee for you to have or run a business. You could always get contractors and just, you know, pay them by value or by project. That's what I've been doing for like my designers and stuff. So when I tried to sign up for Flexile, I couldn't get in because it was only US. It was US only. I went, you know what, I think I can build something like this. I need it to work because I like building the things I need. And then I say, what is the quickest way to start, you know, to get something out there? And that was invoicing. So I was like, let's create Hackfish invoice, because Hackfish is going to be like this OS or the work OS for today's makers. So if you're a contractor, you're a creator, you have to send invoices and other things you have to do. So the business part of doing your creation, actually should be able to take care of it, starting with invoice. So before, if you ask me to show you where the invoices I've sent, I'll be like, okay, hold up a minute, maybe, you know, take popcorn or something, because this might take a moment. I have to go check Google, Gmail, type in invoice, and it's just scattered because, you know, the namings and everything. So there's no way to see all the invoices, and if you're being audited or you have accounting, it's just a nightmare. So Hackfish, now the workflow is you can have clients in there, so you have the names of your clients. So when you want to send them an invoice, just click create invoice. You'd see a pop-up of all your clients. You click them, the details fill up. Also yours, like the first time you add your professional address, because I believe you should operate as an entity, you're not just yourself. So even though you don't, you could put in your name there, but you have an entity, so you could put in your line items, and you could send the invoice directly from Hackfish. You don't have to go open your email app or client to do stuff. And once you click send, it's going to boot, generate the PDF, because people like the PDF. So you're going to attach it, generate the PDF, attach it, and send the email to your client. And you could download it anytime. There's a lot of plans coming up, like scheduling, which I like scheduling a lot. So let's say I have a client that, so that I don't forget, I could just schedule it today, and I'm going to send the invoice like maybe on Friday. Hackfish will just set the schedule, then send it. I don't have to open it. So automation is a big part of what Hackfish will do, because I like automations. It just make me, you know, multiply myself. So yeah, that's it.
That's interesting. It's definitely very useful for, like you said, creators, makers, freelancers. Mm-hmm. So if you're out there, check out Hackfish. What would you say inspires you to do your best work? What inspires you or motivates you to always put in, you know, 10 over 10 every single time?
Yeah, that's a great question. So for me, I'm competing with myself in the sense that I want to do my best work. And I always think that whatever I've done, what I'm going to do is just scratching the surface. And, you know, as an artist, you know, when you create your work and you sign it, you're proud that you have your name on that work signed. So whenever I'm doing anything, I want it to be very best because it has my digital signature that Kelvin did this. So it has to be good. It has to be the best. And I have a lot of great people to look up to. So people I read about, like, for example, I read the book Mastery. That book changed my life. It's one of the reasons why I started TKYT.
Which book? What book?
Mastery by Robert Greene. I've read it three times. It's a big book, but you get to see stories of masters and you see how they are so involved, engrossed in the process. For example, I think there was it, I don't know, there was one of this famous, is it Isaac Newton or Einstein, where he was working, he was so engrossed in the work, his wife served him dinner, he didn't notice, it got cold, she took it away, he came back to an empty dining table and was like, seems I've already eaten. He went back to continue his work. So the whole idea is that there's this obsession over quality and making sure you do your best work. All right. So I'm always obsessed with, okay, what is the whatever I've done before, I'll do it. I want to do it better, and I want to be better than my past self. So I keep raising the bar. Yeah, I keep raising the bar, and I always say I'm still at 1% because there's still so much more to do. Right? And just do your best work so that you are proud to see, like, you know, you signed it digitally, even if you don't really sign it physically. So, yeah.
Do your best work. Okay. That's actually a very, very good advice. So always focus on the quality of the work you do as opposed to just, you know, the quantity, trying to put so much out there.
Yeah.
It's important to have quality work. All right. So when you're not coding, I know you mentioned that you watch series. So what else do you do for fun?
Yeah, I do a couple. So first of all, I haven't been able to swim in any weekend since like a couple of weeks for sales conf. But I like swimming on the weekend because I'm a self-taught swimmer. I learned from
YouTube.
You're
a self-taught swimmer.
Yeah, I learned from YouTube.
That's the first person I'm hearing.
See
that?
Yeah, it was interesting, but it was something I've always wanted to learn, but I was always so scared. So I approached it like I'd approach anything. I learned both the pros and cons, you know, how to do it wrongly so I don't do the wrong things. But yeah, it was really good. So I swim most weekends, and I also play the piano. And right now I'm taking it more like a business again instead of a hobby. I've been playing the piano for like a decade, but last year, the ending of the year, I heard Interstellar by Hans Zimmer. So Hans Zimmer is a famous composer. If you've seen Inception or Interstellar, the movie.
Yeah, I've seen Inception.
So the film score was made by Hans Zimmer. So when I heard the cornfield chase on Interstellar, I was charmed. I was listening to it obsessively. And I think, no, this is the direction I want to take my music, like, because music is like coding, right? So I want to be able to create film scores. So yeah, so that I just did. So I play the piano, I read a ton of books. I think I have over 200 plus books. And I probably have read like 80% of them all through my lifetime. I read every day. I like books so much.
What are two books? I know you've mentioned Mastery, but two other books that you recommend to people that have really changed your life?
Yeah, so How to Win Friends and Influence People. I read it twice in a day or so. It's a very small book by Carnegie. I think it's, Dale Carnegie. Also, I might miss the author. Yeah, How to Win Friends and Influence People. It really helps.
Influence people.
Thank you. Yeah, in terms of communication, superb book. So the other book, The Art of Seduction by Robert Greene. It's more on persuasion, like how to persuade people. It's like, so he's the same author of Mastery. So there's a particular way he writes. He likes to tell stories, like real stories by real people that have harnessed the thing he's talking about. So that book is really, really good. They are all big books, except the How to Win Friends and Influence People. Also, if you're up to it, you should read In Pursuit of Purpose or Pursuit of Purpose by Miles Monroe. It was the first book that, you know, made me think about purpose, like why are you here, you know, like yeah, it's just an interesting book. So Pursuit of Purpose is good too. And a lot. I am actually looking at three books right now. The other way, Mind is the Master by James Allen. So James Allen understands the mind so much. So his wife did this compilation of all his work. So I just, instead of buying single books, I just bought the entire copy.
And that it's must just be a very big book.
Oh, it is a chunky boy. It's very big. So that one, you don't read it at a stretch. You just, you know, read a chapter. Breaks. Yeah.
You let it simmer in and then you continue. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all right. Amazing book. Yeah.
Yeah. Elvin, are you working on any exciting projects? I know you said SalesConf is coming in 2025, but outside of SalesConf, any other thing you're in the hacking, you know, projects you're working on that you like to share?
Yeah, so this one is a little bit of a public secret. So people know it, but they don't know what it is by design. I'm going to announce it for the first time July 3rd. I call it Project 50. It's going to be the other bet I'm doing. And I have partners. So Sentry is a partner on this project. Render is also a partner. And Onboard Based. So they are partnering to subsidize whatever I'm building so that it's more available to everyone else. So they are partnering by giving money. So I've already made money even before the project is launched. Yeah.
Okay, so, awesome. I'll look forward to it. You said July 3rd.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's your baby, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, very cheesy.
Because okay. I was just like July 3rd is so familiar. Then I remember I saw it on your Twitter bio. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Look forward to it. All right, Kelvin, it has been really amazing chatting with you, hearing everything, you know, your mind and just listening to you narrate your story and how you've done so well in the community. So thank you for coming and look forward to other things that you'll be doing.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Nesta. This was amazing chatting with you. Thank you. Yeah,
same here. It was amazing. All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, and I'll see you in another one. Bye.